Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, January 14th. We're midway through January already, 2025. But I was not live last week, so I do want to wish you all a very happy new year. I think 2025 is going to be a good one. I'm very happy to be here today live and very excited that C.A. Brooks will be with me for our January 2025 Meeting of the Minds. As you can hear, my voice is a little unpredictable, so I'm especially grateful to have someone to share the talking and take over if necessary. You know, it reminds me of, you know, the movies where the pilot gets shot and somebody's got to fly the plane. Not that grandiose at all, but it just kind of, that picture came into my head, and I think it's funny. But CA and I always have a great discussion, and you are invited to be a part of it. So please join us in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. Please feel free to comment or ask questions in the chat. We may or may not have time for readings today. We'll see how the conversation goes. If you would like a reading, you can find both of us on 12listen.com. I am typically available every day. That hasn't been the case over the past week or so, but I am getting better, and I've been on for chats because my voice hasn't been able to, I haven't been able to maintain it. But again, that's changing. So I may only be able to be on for chats, but I will be there every day if I possibly can. And I'm typically on later morning, mid to later morning Pacific into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me or if I'm busy, just schedule a call or put in a callback request. I'll be notified immediately and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. We have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week. If you'd like to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. Again, thank you for being here today and thank you for listening, however and whenever you do. 12 Radio is a great source of information, inspiration, and support. And it's how we support you. So please take advantage of that. And I want to thank Serena, my new producer, for taking care of me and producing the show today. So I want to kind of get right to it. As you know, I'm always glad to have C.A. Brooks on the show with me. C.A.'s a good friend. She's a 12listen advisor, clairvoyant astrologer, animal communicator. She's an avid student of A Course in Miracles, among other things. She writes the week ahead section of the Power Peak, Mark Husson's weekly newsletter. She hosts Everyday Astrology here on 12 Radio, which immediately precedes Empowerment Live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, and has podcasts of her Course in Miracles show available in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. She's very busy, and I appreciate that she takes the time to join me for this show once a month. Our meeting of the minds is where we can bring everything and anything to the table. Spirituality, which is my passion, and CA's passions, which are, you know, among astrology, tarot. We both love feng shui. And anything else are welcome. Whatever comes up, it's a flow of intuition and talking and just a flow of spirit when we get a chance to have our weekly, or excuse me, our monthly discussion. And so we're just open to whatever comes up, and it's lovely. And everything is welcome, and that's why it's so much fun. I will have CA join me in just a minute or so after I set up the starting point of our discussion. I want to focus on good stuff. You know, the good stuff that's happened since the last time I talked to you, which was about a month ago. I guess the topic, I would say, is not pushing the river, but being in flow. And I want to start by sharing about my flight to Springfield. I was in Springfield. I left December 22nd, the Sunday before Christmas, and I returned on January 4th. And my whole family there, Jared, Kristen, my son, daughter-in-law, and my three grandchildren, had all been sick before I got there. So about 2 days in, I started not feeling great, but But still, there were so many wonderful things that happened, and that's what I want to talk about. The flight there was just really kind of unbelievable. I mean, this is 3 days before Christmas. I set the space energetically way beforehand, just a grounded, easy travel space. And it was exactly that. I left home. My Lyft driver picked me up about 5:15 a.m. And it was a really quick, easy ride to the airport. It's really fun to drive to the airport at 5 a.m. Nobody's on the road, especially on Sunday. So it was great. It was a breeze. And when I got to the airport, I mean, honestly, I wasn't fooling myself. It was 3 days before Christmas, so I expected it to be very busy. But at the same time, I set the space for, you know, no delays and just go along with it. Whatever it was, however it was, just go along with it and enjoy it. You know, enjoy being at the airport, enjoy people, you know, people watching. So my intention was no delays. So I got dropped off at the Skycap station. And I was through it in less than 10 minutes. There was nobody in line. I got my TSA pre-check, which is brilliant. I was so happy with myself. It was the first time I got to use it. So that took no time at all because there was nobody in line. The train to the terminal was not full of people packed like sardines, like it usually is. And when I got to the Southwest terminal, literally, I'm not joking, it was pretty much empty. Empty. And honestly, it was surreal. It felt weird. My flight was at 8 a.m. So early, but not that early. I mean, I've left at 5 before in the morning. And I'm just thinking, it's 3 days before Christmas and there's nobody here. And because it felt so surreal, I double-checked with a gate agent, you know, not on my gate, that I was at the right gate. And I was. So I sat down and watched the most gorgeous sunrise. It was just a beautiful, beautiful sunrise. And I made up my mind to make this easy just because I was flying over the Christmas holiday. So I flew business class, got my aisle seat in the third row, and sat next to a couple of really lovely ladies. It was a perfect flight. It was absolutely a perfect flight. And in fact, I got into St. Louis early. So it was just absolutely the epitome of being supported by spirit. Absolutely. No other explanation. And it was joyful. Jared picked me up at the airport. And we went to a brewery that he likes in St. Louis and then headed home where the Wild Bunch were waiting. And believe me, they are. But I really experienced being in flow over the time that I was there, because I was able, you know, no matter how I felt, I was able to meet the demands and the opportunities of being with family and helping out. My daughter-in-law comes from a good-sized family, 5 kids. So her brother and his daughter were there, her mom and dad, and her sister, and they always have friends coming over. So it was just, it was a flurry of energy. And it was lovely because, you know, I work for myself. I live alone. And it was just wonderful energy. And I was able to, as I said, opportunities to help out, took care of my grandson the last 2 days before I left, did laundry for them. Maisie, my youngest granddaughter, you know, bathing her and getting her to bed and laying in bed with her until she fell asleep. You know, however I could help, even though, you know, I wasn't feeling 100% at all. I had the energy I needed when I needed it. And that's supply. You know, that's supply. That's God in us, what we need when we need it. After I got home, however, and I really was feeling better by the time I left. My flight home, my goal was to not cough on the plane or in the airport, and plane was fine. I was fine on the plane, in the airport. I think I coughed once. So that was great. And, you know, it seemed long, but it wasn't bad. But it just seemed long because I just wanted to be home. You know, after being away for almost 14 days, I really wanted to be home. And Grace, my little dog, my friend took care of her. So I was missing her too. But after I got home, this thing just kind of, I don't know, took over. And it was worse than when I was in Springfield. And I just had to agree with my adversary and go to bed. I had no choice. I couldn't think. I couldn't think. So that makes it really hard to work. And as well as just the symptoms of coughing and all of that stuff. So, you know, I had to go to bed. No one wants to be sick, but struggling against it is stupid. Just stupid. And it was so interesting because I'm online every day. And in the past, when I was sick, I pushed myself to get back to work. I didn't want to leave my clients hanging. I still don't. And my work, I want to listen, is my source of income. So there was always an underlying fear that also pushed me to get back to work. This time, I had total peace. And it truly was the peace that passes understanding about just taking the time I needed to get over this thing. I got, you know, a lot of sleep, but I also, and here's just another example of flow, listen to Joel Goldsmith's tapes on YouTube. You know, back to my favorite guy, Joel. And every tape I listened to was exactly what I needed to hear. I mean, noticeably exactly what I needed to hear. Explanations for things that I'd been pondering and thinking about. And, you know, how you get a concept or you have a realization and it keeps flushing out, so to speak. You know, the more you meditate on it, the more you spend time with it, you understand more, the more you listen. It was just interesting because there were like explanations for things that I had been pondering. I just said that. But it was more than that. It was very, very healing and just wonderful. And just, it lifted me up. You know, it truly did. And it reminded me the divine intelligence is always at work because it's our consciousness. And it is a no mistakes universe. We are self-complete. Whatever we need is within us. And all we have to do is allow it to come forward. Because again, it is within us, that which lives us, the self of me lives me. And it's the infinite God mind that meets every demand. So this was an opportunity for me. It was a real opportunity for me. Being sick is crap. I can't sugarcoat that. But everything that comes into our experience is for us if we use it. And on that note, I just want to say welcome to CA and thank you so much for being here.
Hey, you are welcome. And I'm glad that you are on the mend.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that is a difficult thing to do. And I guess what I was sitting here thinking is, how so often what we do in many, many ways is we hold it together, you know, mm-hmm. while we need to. And then when we're alone or once we get back home, you know, it's almost like we go, okay, now I can just relax. I don't have to control the situation so much, because it does feel to me often like that's what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to control the situation. And of course I am. Like you said, you know, I've been on that very situation, you know, just coughing, going someplace and getting sick. In fact, it used to happen to me a lot when I go to Texas, and I realize now it was allergies. I wasn't used to the flowers and the different things in Texas. And so every time I would get some kind of a respiratory thing, and by the time I get back on the plane, I'm just coughing. So, you know, then I started wising up and taking some allergy medicine. But the point is, you know, we just hold it together. And I can remember being in the airport or on a plane and just going, don't cough, don't cough, don't cough.
Yeah. Don't cough, don't cough.
Right. And the other thing is, and also somehow, realizing I'm not sick. I don't have a cold. I'm just, you know, it's a respiratory, like I said, it was an allergy. And so I didn't really feel like I was getting anybody sick. I was just like trying to get this allergen out of my own system.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. Hey, and by the way, I was just looking in the chat room. Over on Facebook, we do have a chat room during our live shows. And like Kelly, I have a hard time trying to multitask when I'm doing my own show and looking over there and interacting. But I could do it while Kelly was talking. And Lori Love has posted a picture of Samantha from Bewitched. And she has this cup and she's flicking stuff. And it says, you know, I'm sending you good vibes.
So, oh, cute. Thanks, Lori.
Very cute. So everybody in the chat room, hello and welcome and thanks for being here today. But they're basically wishing you well, Kelly, and that, you know, you'll be better soon. So
I appreciate it. And I am getting better day by day. I mean, I know that. I just need to be able to hang online, you know, for calls.
Right.
That's what I'm waiting for. But thank you, everyone. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. And it certainly doesn't happen often, not with you anyway.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, I just feel like the people that my clients have been my clients for the majority of them for 16 years. And they know that. You know, they know that.
Yep. You are one of the most stable and consistent and dependable people I know. Must be that Taurus energy.
Thank you. Must be.
Well, that's part of it anyway. Not all of it, but that's part of it. So, but you'll be better soon, I'm quite sure. But what a struggle it is. It just, you know, for people who use their voice so often, and especially in our work, it is so difficult not to have a voice. You know? Yeah. Yeah, in fact, I will admit, I do chats on One to Listen, and I'm trying to get better about it, but it's just so not my style. You know, I like the interaction, and I like the verbalization, and I get that in some ways it's the same, but as I always tell people, I feel like in a call, I can get to whatever's going on in about, you know, 15, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Whereas it feels like in a chat when I'm going, hey, how's it going? What's going on for you? And, you know, you're back and forth and back and forth. But I also recognize, I guess it's a sign of my age. In fact, I saw something recently, Kelly, and I don't know how I feel about it. I kind of do. I kind of want to slap the author. But it was just this little quick article. You know, it's so typical of this day and age. It's more like bullet points rather than, you know, a concerted kind of, you know, article. But it was basically saying, okay, to all you baby boomers, this is what you need to do to get along with the rest of us. And one of the things was, you need to quit calling us because we use chat. And it annoys us for you to call us.
Wow.
I know. And that's kind of how the author put it out there. And I laughed at it. But I thought, you know, I do recognize that. I mean, I also see, you know, the advantage of text. I do. I absolutely do. And so often, like, you're going back and forth and it's easy to answer a text really quickly and you're in the middle of something and maybe it's better not to get caught, you know, on a phone call. But on the other hand, it was like, yeah, this is what you need to do to get along with us.
Wow.
Maybe I don't want to get along with you.
Exactly.
It was like, you need to quit calling us because it annoys us.
Speaking for the whole world.
Yeah, but, you know, but there were some good things. I mean, and I certainly understand because, you know, but it also made me think just more, you know, historically or globally, every single generation and the generation after that and the generation after that, they're always going to have characteristics that the younger generation, like, why can't you get with the program?
Yeah.
You know, why can't you get with the program? And yet there is always going to be some level of wisdom or some level of something very positive that you take from the older generation that if you just throw it away, you know, you're kind of losing ground. Let's put it that way. And of course, I see it as an astrologer too, because Pluto changes signs about every 12 to 22 years. So Pluto is a generational planet. And that's what you see, Pluto in a particular sign, all those babies that are born while Pluto's in a particular sign, of course, they're going to be different than their parents. And it's going to be very different because every sign in many ways corrects for the sign before it. And when I say corrects, corrects the excesses or the deficiencies. So, you know, it's typical that your kids, unless you're, you know, both in the same Pluto generation, they're going to go, this is what you need to do to get along with us. You know, this is what you need to do to be a better person. And it's just, it's totally understandable, astrologically speaking. But also to just, when I read that article, I thought, okay, what are the things that you can really take? And what are the things, like I said, I just wanted to slap the person. But, you know, certainly some of them are, this is how we think, this is how we operate. And, you know, for you to keep saying, I don't know tech, I don't know tech, I don't want to get on board with that, you know, it's just silly, you know? But on the other hand, it's like, well, you know what, guess what? We're not going to just completely change ourselves because this is who we are.
Right.
You know? And in fact, I had something kind of funny happen the other day. The new iPhones, when they updated recently, one of the things my phone started doing is if somebody leaves me a voice message, it actually appears on my phone as like a text. I mean, it's, you know, completely, it's translated or whatever you call it.
Transcription.
It's transcribed. But the thing is, you don't have to go to the voicemail to find it. It just appears on the phone, almost like it came in like a text.
Oh, nice.
And I need to get used to that because it's happened multiple times. But the funny thing is my dad left a voice message. Now, my dad, I can tell you, does not check texts. He just does not. In fact, just a few days ago, I said something about he knew something that was in a text. And I said, oh, my gosh, you know, did you open up that text? And he goes, accidentally. He goes, I only open them by accident. And I'm like, okay. So, yes, he does it by accident. But my dad is 94 years old. So I guess if he's using an iPhone, that's something incredible in itself. But, you know, but that's it. I got this message from my dad coming across my phone. And I went, oh, my God, he's learned to text. And then I realized it was just a transcription of a voice message. So, but, oh, my gosh. In any case, that was kind of an aside. Sorry about that. But
that's okay.
But yeah, you know, just looking at where we are and how we interpret things. And I guess one thing I would ask you in terms of, and I know your voice is a little raw, but as you look at 2025, you know, I keep wanting, by the way, to say 2085.
Oh, that's interesting.
Is that some kind of Freudian thing? I don't know why. Why am I going 2085? Anyway, 2025. Yeah, I'll try to figure that out. But anyway, you know, what are some of your just overriding thoughts or feelings about 2025?
Well, you know, I really do believe that whatever our experience is depends on us. You know, what you want to focus on, what you want to... it's our perception for anything and everything. And so, you know, we're going to get out of 2025 exactly what we put into it. Mm-hmm. So it's just all up to us. Everything's always kind of sitting in our lap to show up or not. And then whatever our experience is the result of whether we show up or not.
Right.
So it feels good to me. It feels like it feels open. That's the best word I can say. It just feels open.
Well, and you know, I think that's true too. Just kind of reading the energy. I think, like, for instance, even on Wonder Radio. Now, obviously, I haven't listened to all the shows, but in the past, I mean, for quite a while now, I'd say for, I don't know, 7, maybe more years, we've always done this big production for New Year's. you know, with addictions and everything. And this year, people just weren't into it. And everybody I've talked to, it's kind of the same way. And so even that, just kind of looking at it, and yet it's, I think it's indicative of 2025, but it's also, I think, a really good sign, because in some ways, it feels to me, and I mean, speaking about myself, this is projection, but, you know, just always trying to control the flow of the river.
Yeah.
You know, control, and here it is, and this is what it looks like, and this is what's going to happen, instead of just, as you say, just being in the flow.
Yeah.
And just accepting or allowing things to unfold as they unfold with the confidence that we show up in the moment and we'll know how to handle it and what to do.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean, you know, that we don't learn anything new or that we don't we don't push for something. But, you know, there does seem to be in some ways a more relaxed, a more open, a more, you know, less controlled kind of feeling about going into 2025. And, you know, maybe that's too, that we're, in some ways, maybe the longer you live, the more you realize you don't have much control anyway.
Yeah.
You know, over the big things in life. But what we always have control over is our attitude, our perception, our interpretation of what it means to us.
Yep.
That's, you know, we, you know, and in words of A Course in Miracles, we give everything the meaning that it has for us.
Yes.
It, you know, what it means is what is the meaning we give it.
Yep.
And so, you know, maybe just kind of dialing everything back a little bit and taking that more relaxed approach to, I will have whatever I need in the moment to deal with whatever is in the moment. And I don't need to necessarily know it ahead of time. I don't need to control it. I don't need to have option A, B, C, D, and E, whatever, you know, have it all ready, because I can, like I said, sit in the confidence that I'll know what to do in the moment if I stay awake. Yeah. That's a big thing, staying awake.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's just, it's kind of like surrendering it to wisdom, just surrendering it to wisdom. And because when we're trying to control something, when we've decided how something should be, or, it, you know, what we do is we limit it.
Yes.
And when we just kind of, when we show up and surrender, I don't know what to do. I don't know what this is going to look like. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that which lives me does. So yeah. Show me. And that is divine intelligence. That is the source of everything. So I'm here to show up and you show me. And that way I'll get the most out of it. And be that circle. You know, it's not just what we get out of it, but there's a circle there. You know, whatever we get, it's an inlet and outlet of supply, and supply is just what we need when we need it, whatever it is, ideas, excuse me, whatever it is. But then our part is to, you know, in connection with that divine consciousness, with that, the self of us, is giving, you know, it is giving whatever it is you're looking for, whatever it is you're needing, give it, because that's where the flow is. And so I think if we can just show up and not cling to attachment and ideas of how things should be, then we're really available to all that that life has to give us in every moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes practice, but boy, you know, it really feels good. It really feels good to just be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I've told you, so I won't go through them again, but I've had some amazing things happen when I've been incredibly frustrated and just said, I don't know what to do. I just don't know. I don't know what the answer is. And then when I say, but if I did know, what would the answer be? And there it is. You know, just there it is.
Same thing.
If I did know the answer, what would it look like? And then just whatever comes into my head. And it's absolutely the right answer. And when I say absolutely right, because I'm talking about things that are mechanical. I mean, you know, like which screwdriver to use or knowing how to put something together. And it's like all of a sudden seeing it was like, oh, my God, I didn't see it before. But the minute I just say, OK, I don't know how to do this, but if I did, what would it look like? And it's like, oh, well, you have to turn that over, you know, or, you know, I mean, and that's what it is. It's like some physical things that it's like, oh, my God, you just needed to turn that over or backwards or inside out or whatever. And it's like you were just fighting yourself. But so sometimes just being OK with not knowing. Yeah. But also if it's something that you have to move ahead on, then you just go, OK, but if I knew the answer, what would it be?
Yeah.
And just trusting that process, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then following the breadcrumbs.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It's like little things show up and go, oh, you know, and then you follow that one and more comes.
Yeah.
It's a lovely way. I mean, it's just a lovely way to operate because we don't know. We don't know with our,
right.
You know, we know what we know. That's what the human mind is. But it's an avenue for the divine mind. Mm-hmm. And so when we let go of our hard, fast rules, so to speak, then we really are available for that, for just interesting and wonderful things,
right,
to appear. And they do.
Yeah.
They do because we've made room for them. Because right. They're already there, you know, but we've actually accepted and made room for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know are three magic words for me.
Yes, they are.
They are.
And yet I'm laughing because I've told you this before, too. I don't know what it is about a person, you know, the aura, the way you look, the way you handle yourself. But I'm a person that when I'm out in public, people always think I know more than I do. And what I mean is, like, I'm the person people come up to in a store and say, hey, where do they keep the ketchup? Or, you know, how much is this? Or when does the store close? I mean, they're always asking me information. Now, there I am standing just like they are, holding my purse or my bag, or I've got a cart of groceries or whatever it is. So, but they act like they think I work there. And I've always wondered, what is that about that people will single me out? It happens in airports. It happens in stores. It happens a lot. But the other thing is they're annoyed if I don't know. Or
right.
if I go, you know what, I don't work here. But what I've learned to do is just say, you know what, I don't work here, but I think I can help you figure it out.
Nice.
You know, then they're okay.
Yeah. Yeah, rather than mad at you because you don't work at the store.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't work here.
That's funny.
I don't know. Oh, I know. And I've told you it happened the very first time I went to the Denver airport when DIA opened years ago. Very first time I was there, somebody came up to me and wanted information. And I said, I'm sorry, this is my first time here. And she goes, but you work here. And I go, no, I don't. I don't work here. And she goes, but you told that other woman, you gave her directions. And I said, I just read the sign. That's all I did. I just read the sign. And I can help you do that, too.
Oh, how funny. Isn't that funny?
But yes, I don't know are words that we shouldn't be afraid of.
No.
I don't know, but I can figure it out. You know, once again, having the confidence that we're going to find out what we need. Or it's going to be okay on one level or another. So it's okay to not know. And, you know, I think that is a scary thing to a lot of us. I don't know.
Yeah.
And yet, how could we? You know, how could we know everything possible?
Well, we don't. And it's interesting because I talked to, I had a man that I did a reading for a few months ago. And I was talking to him about, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to deal with this. You know, this is a situation that I've never dealt with before. I don't know. And he said, you know, to an engineer, I have a hard time accepting that. And I said, I understand, but you're not saying you don't know. It's like you're not admitting ego-wise, you know, which is what he was talking about. You know, I should know. That's what I do. That's who I am. But what you're saying is, well, by saying I don't know, you're opening the door for an answer. That's what you're doing. You're stepping aside. You're opening the door for an answer. And, you know, it's two different things. If somebody asks you something, you know, like one of your employees or whatever, of course you know. But in dealing with a situation that's tough, that you've not been in before, you don't know. And so saying, I don't know, opens the door for divine intelligence to come in. And it will. And that's all you're doing. And he went, I get it. He said, I get it. That makes a lot of sense. So it's kind of a conflict between ego and admitting that. And it's two different things, in my opinion. Completely.
Well, and maybe we should say, I don't know yet. Because we're going to know. We just don't know in this moment.
Right. Right.
Well, and, you know, in A Course in Miracles, one of the things that I think this is actually quite beautiful, there's this whole passage about not making judgments. And it basically says, put away judgment. Don't judge, not because or basically don't do it because you're not good at it. You're just not good at it. And and it says, if you can say that you know every single component of a situation, you know every possible outcome and where it will lead and how it will affect every single person it touches, then you can judge. But if you can't say that, if you can't say that you know every single thing and every single outcome and every single person that it'll touch, then you better step away from it. And now I'm paraphrasing, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, once again, there's so often, I don't know if it's inappropriate or not, but I just start laughing when I read things like that. Because it's like, oh, my God, how true is that? That you don't judge not because somebody says, oh, that's not a good thing to do. You don't judge because you're not good at it.
Right.
You know, you don't have everything it takes to make a judgment about this thing, this person being good or bad, because you don't know all of this, you know, the sequencing of things and how it's going to work out. So just back off and go, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not going to judge this as good or bad or, you know, whatever.
Well, and when we judge, what are we judging from? Our experience.
Yes, the past.
Which isn't true. It's what? Just our experience. I mean, it's not a basis for anybody else. Yeah.
Yes. Now, that being said, obviously, we would never learn to walk or talk if we didn't base things on the past. We learned from experience.
Oh, true. True.
You know, and so there again, you know, people, I don't go to extremes, but really, if you don't, you know, we always think the future unfolds according to our wisdom and our experience in the past, and it just doesn't. So it's okay to not know yet.
Right. Well, see, and that's how we limit ourselves. If we base, you know, what we are expecting on our past, you know, the associative mind that jumps in and goes, oh, remember the last time that happened, blah, blah, blah. And ego is what that is. But if we are basing our judgment or our idea of what will happen on the past, then we're limiting it. We're limiting it. We're throwing up our own roadblocks. And that is, you know, I mean, it's human nature. But at the same time, we're not doing ourselves any favor.
Right. Well, and I'm here again, control is an important word to me. I like to think that I can control. But I think as we move forward, as an astrologer, seeing all this Aquarian energy, Pluto in Aquarius, the sun moving into Aquarius at the end of the week, you know, we're going into a brave new world, so to speak. It is about the mind. It's about innovation. It's about using resources differently. And it's both stimulating and exciting and scary. And I say scary because for those of us who like to know the result before we get there, we right. want to turn to the end of the book and read those three pages at the end,
right.
which is something I have to just stop myself from doing. You know, in a movie or a book, sometimes I can barely stand the suspense and I just want to go to the end. And most of the time I stop myself. Sometimes I can't, though. That's it. I can't stand this anymore. I need to know.
Oh,
I just need to know what the end is. You know, the suspense is just way too uncomfortable. But that's it, just kind of knowing ourselves and just saying, yeah, this is a time of great change, of great transition. But, you know, the Aquarian mind is just brilliant. It's genius. And so many exciting things, but those exciting things, and just like we all know, you know, can we really tell the difference between being excited or being anxious?
Oh,
they're really, you know, in our bodies so often they kind of feel like the same thing, you know?
True.
And so we can reinterpret that. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm stimulated. I'm provoked. That doesn't have to be negative.
No.
Not at all.
No, not at all. You're right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so many interesting changes coming up technologically. I mean, Aquarius, I mean, you know, it's, we're going full tilt Aquarius. So we need to dive in.
Well, it's interesting. Like. When you mentioned that, my little grandson, Bo, who's 4, has an Aquarius moon.
Mm.
And he is just, he is like scary smart. You know, just technology, the iPad. And what's funny is he talks about himself in the third person.
He does?
Yes. He said to Maisie, he said, I am leaving my iPad, which actually belonged to his dad, here in Bowden's house. And she goes, and Maisie's house? It's just hilarious the way they talk to each other. But he can read. He can read.
Mm-hmm.
And his preschool teacher told Jared and Kristen, he can read.
Yeah.
He just can.
Yeah.
And he's just, he is smart. He's a thinker. He always has been. But it's funny when you're talking about the Aquarian energy. Boy, that kid is something. He really is. His little, they're both Geminis with Taurus rising, both of them. And he's Aquarius, and I can't remember what her rising sign is. Might be Libra, I'm not sure. But they're funny. They're funny.
Yeah. Well, and I was just with a great niece for a couple of days. And, you know, I don't get to see her a lot. She lives in Denver, so I only see her every few months. And I know that, you know, every generation, they always think their kids are the smartest, right? That's just kind of the way it is. But I'm telling you, Kelly, I've been around a lot of kids in my life. Lots and lots and lots of kids.
Know.
You know that. With 9 brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews and blah, blah, blah. I've been around a lot of kids. This little girl is not even 2 years old, and she has been talking since she was about 1.
Uh-huh.
And at first when they said she talks, I'm like, oh, yeah, right. You know, I mean, because kids don't usually talk at 1. They mouth a few things and they say a few things. This little girl talks. She talks in sentences and she talks in 2 languages.
Wow.
Because they speak Spanish and English to her because they want her to know multiple languages.
Lovely.
So every once in a while I throw in a little Italian, you know. Mm-hmm. But is she, I mean, I just am continually amazed. And I'm like, this, and I'm not saying she's smarter than other kids, because I'm beginning to think, yeah, there's something in the water. There's something in the air. The kids that are being born now, they're just smarter than, they're smarter for some reason. But this little girl, when you hear her talk, and, you know, a lot of it obviously has to do with what she wants and needs.
Sure.
I want to go in the hot tub. You know, or I want to take the dog for a walk or whatever. But still, I'm just like, I can't believe I'm relating to this little, she's not even 2 years old now. And it feels like I'm talking to a 4 or 5 year old.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is amazing. This is truly just amazing. And by the way, I looked at her chart recently and she has, I'd forgotten this, but she has 5 or 6 planets all in the 9th house. And the 9th house is higher education.
Oh.
And so I looked at her parents. And I said, I hope you're, you know, saving your money for her college education, because she's going to want a lot of it. I know. And I thought, oh my gosh, but that's it. I'm just, like I said, I think it takes a lot to wow me when it comes to little kids, because I'm around a lot. And like I said, I'm used to parents always thinking their kids are so bright, but it's not her parents that are telling me that. It's this little girl. I'm having conversations with a little girl that's not even 2 years old, you know? And I'm just like, whoa. I can't imagine her at 4 or 5, you know?
Well, she's just, it's just interesting. It's like, there's no, how do I want to say it? Filter's not the right word, but she's just available.
Yeah.
And here it comes. Yeah. You know, that's the neat thing about kids. They're just available. So here it comes.
Well, and my dog Tucker absolutely loves her.
Oh, this is the one.
Oh my gosh, he just loves her. And so she was just here, and he remembers her and she remembers him. But I always leave the leash on when she's around him, because she just picks it up and she walks him around the house. And he just willingly follows her everywhere.
Oh, how cute. That's sweet.
And it is. I just love it. And now she's going to go to Europe and she's going to be gone for a while. I don't know the next time I'm going to see her. And so I feel sorry for Tucker, because he's not going to have her around at all. But I thought, I wonder what it'll be like when she comes back.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, will I even be able to keep up with her, Kelly?
Oh, well, you know, she's just going to absorb, you know, all of that. And how lovely. What a sweet spirit.
Yeah, she'll probably be speaking 3 languages by the time I talk to her next.
Fluently. Yep.
But yeah, just so much exciting stuff going on. And that's it. But we need to, you know, I put a plug in. I know a lot of the people that probably listen to your show listen to me too, but, I guess that's an assumption, but, you know, this is the year, I think, of a lot of transition, and I keep seeing it as a bridge where it's not a destination. We're on our way somewhere, and there's lots of excitement and lots of things to take in as we go, but it's the year of the hermit. When you take numerology and you put tarot together. And so, and Mo and I talked about this on my show, but just the idea of the hermit is to follow your own path, you know, and that doesn't mean you don't have a mentor or a guide or that you look for the light, but follow your own path, you know, and simplify your life so that you know the difference between what you love, what your preferences are, and those of somebody else. You know, just like take it, you know, the old cliche, take it one day at a time, but follow your own path, follow your own light, and trust it and have confidence in yourself.
I like that.
Yeah. It'll be a good year.
Yeah. Again, I think that you do that by just being available.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a really nice way of putting it.
Yeah. And giving credence to, and for me, personally, I think it's just depending on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Depending on what you need to show up when you need it. Depending on source, not people, nothing outside, but just source, you know. And it's great, because all that can do is make you stronger and a better person and actually help you to show up. I mean, that's... It's a win-win, you know, for you and everybody else who is you too.
Yep.
Sorry.
You know, it reminds me of a movie, and I'm trying to think what it is. I know. It's 6 Days and 7 Nights. Harrison Ford is talking to Anne Heche, and something about being attractive or getting a man's attention. I think it's that movie. Maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, he says, you know how you do that? He goes, for a woman, the way to get a man excited, you just have to show up, you know, because she was working for a magazine, you know, and it was all this, you know, wear the right lipstick, the right makeup, the right dress, blah, blah, blah. Because, no, for us, we're simple. Just show up, you know. And I always thought that was funny, but also just kind of get into the real, I know you're using it a little bit differently, metaphysically, spiritually, whatever, but that's it. Guys, just show up in your life. Just be there.
Yeah.
don't be someplace else. Just be there right now in this moment.
Yeah. And that way you're not shutting anything off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree. Well, CA, I know it's a couple minutes early, which is unusual for us.
Yes.
But
speaking of shutting off, yeah.
Yeah. It felt complete, as we used to say. What do you have going on?
Well, the typical thing, I am on One to Listen, and my schedule's a lot more unpredictable than Kelly's, but I want people to know I really am available. I'm just kind of sometimes going back and forth between my parents and, you know, overseeing some people that need a little help right now. But please, you know, catch me on One to Listen. I'm usually there in the afternoons. And if you don't see me as available, just put in a request for a callback, because as Kelly said, we get notified immediately. And if I can respond, I certainly will. Or you just, you know, put in a request for a scheduled call at a time that you would be really comfortable for you. And then we can just, you know, we can plan on it. We can get it together. And it doesn't have to be way into the future. Sometimes, you know, a scheduled call can just be 15 minutes from now or tomorrow or whatever. But those are really nice, because then I know exactly what's happening. I can get your chart or can kind of tune into the energy before you ever call. But it's also not necessary. You can just call me on One to Listen. But yes, love to connect with you. And Kelly, thank you so much for inviting me onto the show today.
Oh, CA, thanks for being here. I really, really appreciate it. Always, but today especially. It was a good show. I think it was a good show. Good information. So I appreciate you taking the time. Everyone, you've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're on One Two Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. I wish you a very, very blessed week. And please stay tuned for Katie Weaver, followed by Christina LaFrance. Thank you all. Bye-bye.